E-Tidings Cosmos, good morning 21st century world of worlds. This is Radio Richard Ireland, coming to you from within the soundproofless studio of life itself. Thaumila Fáilte Roth an Seó. I am your host, Richard McSweeney. Hear this, listener, give it here your fullness of ear. From the beginning there is breath, and upon that breath there are words. Here on the island, people are always talking about the weather. Why, they talk about it more than anything else, making this comment and that comment about it, and the majority of those lean towards the negative. I wonder, do the cattle in the fields as they are grazing along and with the sun shining on their backs, are they saying to each other in some way, "God, it's nice today, isn't it?" Or the sheep and the horses, and what about the birds of the air and the butterflies? Do they all make some comment about the weather to one another? Are we the only ones who make all this thing of the weather, the only ones who single it out from the rest of the abundance of natural phenomena? I think it is better just to forget about the weather altogether and to get on with the whatever we are doing in the given. That is what I try to do. And well, it works for me too. And the sage in the digital age speaks of the philosopher of old, saying, "On a gently sloping hillside," he said, "he observed a dog excitedly barking at a bubbling spring. After every 7 to 9 barking sessions, he would hastily gulp down some of its refreshing waters before continuing on with his barking. And then every now and then, too, he would quickly run off to a nearby tuft of grass, raise his leg, and relieve himself of his water load. He would then quickly run back and with a renewed verve resume barking at the spring. This interesting pattern of behavior carried on for some time before eventually, and having quite exhausted himself, he staggeringly went and lay down a little ways from the stream. And with doing so, he fell sound asleep to its melody of gently bubbling, softly flowing waters." In today's broadcast, I'll be reading from Prince Hamlet, Tao Te Ching, and the true classic of Southern Taoist fragrance. This is a reading in continuity from Prince Hamlet. "Peace, who comes here? Your lordship is right welcome back to Denmark. I humbly thank you, sir. Dost know this waterfly?" "No, my good lord." "Thy state is the more gracious, for it is a vice to know him. He had much land and fertile. Let a beast be lord of beasts, and his crib shall stand the king's mess. 'Tis a cough, but, as I say, spacious in the possession of dirt."
"Sweet lord, if your lordship were at leisure, I should impart a thing to you from his majesty."
"I will receive it, sir, with all diligence of spirit. Put your bonnet to its right use. It is for the head."
"I thank you, your lordship. It is very hot."
"No, believe me, it is very cold. The wind is northerly."
"It is indifferent cold, my lord, indeed."
"But yet, methinks, it is very sultry and hot for my complexion."
"Exceedingly, my lord, it is very sultry. As 'twere, I cannot tell how."
"But, my lord, his majesty bade me signify to you that he has laid a great wager on your head, sir. This is the matter." "I beseech you, remember."
"Nay, good my lord, for mine ease and good faith. Sir, here is newly come to court Laertes, believe me, an absolute gentleman, full of most excellent differences, of very soft society, and great showing indeed. To speak feelingly of him, he is the card or calendar of gentry, for you shall find in him the continent of what part a gentleman would see."
"Sir, his definement suffers no perdition in you, though I know to divide him inventorially would dizzy the arithmetic of memory, and yet but yaw neither the respect of his quick sale. but in the verity of extolment I take him to be a soul of great article, and his infusion of such dearth and rareness as to make true diction of him. His semblable in his mirror, and who else would trace him? His umbrage nothing more.
Your lordship speak most infallibly of him.
The concernacy, sir? Why do we wrap the gentleman in our raw breath?
Sir?
It's not possible to understand in another tongue. You will do it, sir, really. What imports the nomination of this gentleman?
Of Liotes?
His purse is empty already. All scold and words are spent.
Of him, sir. I know you are not ignorant.
I would you did, sir, yet in fate, if you did, it would not much approve me. Well, sir,
you are not ignorant of what excellence Liotes is.
I dare not confess that, lest I should compare with him in excellence. But to know a man well, what to know himself?
I mean, sir, for his weapon, but in the imputation laid on him by them, in his meed he is unfellowed.
What's his weapon?
Rapier and dagger.
That's two of his weapons, but well.
The king, sire, had wagered with him 6 Barbary horses, against the which he has imponed, as I take it, 6 French rapiers and poniards, with their assigns as girdle hangers and so. 3 of the carriages, in faith, are very dear to fancy, very responsive to the hilts, most delicate carriages, and of very liberal conceit.
What call you the carriages?
I knew you must be edified by the margin ere you had done. The carriages, sir, are the hangers.
The phrase would be more German to the matter if we could carry a cannon by our side. I would it might be hangers till then. But on, 6 Barbary horses against 6 French swords, their assigns, and 3 liberal conceited carriages, that's the French bet against the Danish. Why is this imponed, as you call it?
The king, sir, had laid that in a dozen paces between yourself and him he shall not exceed you 3 hits. He had laid on 12 of for 9, and it would come to immediate trial, if your lordship would vouchsafe the answer.
How if I answer no?
I mean, my lord, the opposition of your person in trial.
Sir, I will walk here in the hall. If it please his majesty, 'tis the breeding's time of day with me. Let the foils be brought, the gentleman willing, and the king hold his purpose. I will win for him, and I can, if not, I will gain nothing but my shame and odd hits.
Shall I re-deliver you even so?
To this effect, sir, after what flourish your nature will.
I commend my duty to your lordship.
Yours. He does well to commend it himself. There are no tongues else for his tongue. This lapwing runs away with the shell on his head.
He did comply with his duck before he sucked it. Thus has he, and many more the same baby that I know, the dretsy age dotes on, only got the tune of the time, an outward habit of encounter, a kind of yeasty collection, which carries them through and through the most fond and winnowed opinions, and do but blow them to their trial, the bubbles are out.
Tao Te Ching, Installment 10. By clothing a good frame and embracing the Holy One, cannot your soul be kept from leaving? In concentrating the breath and making the body supple, can't you turn it into a baby again? By taking the eye's dirt and consulting scriptures, can't you become blemishless? To love people and exercise government, can't this be kept from being publicly known? Cannot your mouths, eyes, and ears, the gate of heaven, remain soft when opening and closing, as females usually do? When you understand the truth and fully discern them, do you not depend on acting without the intent to control fate? the one which gives all things lives, and thus rears them, gives the lives but does not claim ownership. It works laboriously for them, but does not expect reward in return. Even when they are fully grown up, it does not dominate them. I shall say this really can be regarded as the mystic virtue. This is an interpretation, after my own fashioning, of some lines from the true classic of Southern Taoist fragrance. No three-star visitor spoke to me, saying, "Humaculata Vera, what stories, what anecdotes, what insights do you bring to this new dawn?" A human was saying to me, "How great it is that humans can make so many different things." And I replied, saying, "Yes, the human delights in making things, and that is very good. But what is not very good is that they don't always give due consideration to the long-term consequences of what they make." "How so?" "The fashioning of all kinds of weaponry to bring down birds out of their airy world makes birds nervous and ever watchful for the appearance of humans. The same would be true for the fishes of the waters, in that it makes them dive deep and hide with knowing a human is nearing. And the little animals of the burrows and dens by grove and field are ever fearful at the sound of even the human voice. Deer and boar scatter at picking up the scent of a human on the breeze. We humans have to live, you know. We have somehow how to feed our stomachs." "Of course. But when humans become excessively cunning at making weaponry, then there is no longer leisure and harmony among the animals. And what will you say of the weaponry you make to take out your fellow human or his family or his entire village? Does anyone feel safe any more? And what if in the future your descendants become so excessively cunning at producing, say, weapons to use on each other that would be located so far away from them, yet be able to hit a person with deadly accuracy, and they wouldn't have even been able to see them pointed at them? They would no longer be of the living, and they wouldn't have known what had caused it to be so. Then there would be no one who would be able to sleep soundly at night, and their days would be greatly troubling for them. Then what say you is the solution? Be fully human." "What do you mean, be fully human? For don't I feel as fully human as the next person?" "That is to be thinking superficially, and it is to be thinking also human. When you will start being fully human, you then will know exactly what I mean." In a dawn reverie of this new day, meditated I on what an immortal self of mine did say, did lovingly relay way back in days of long, long, long gone by. O mortal self of mine, when with living in your own realm and time, you will go up into your own sacred mountains, within your own holy places will you stand. All right, I will leave it at that for today. Enjoy taking very good care of yourself and those around you. Be ever so grateful for your many blessings. And spare a thought too for peoples living in faraway places, in all different kinds of situations, often very difficult and not at all of their own making. You have been listening to an Irish philosopher of the natural kind, bringing radio to the internet via Radio Richard Ireland, on the air globally for about 15 minutes, Monday to Friday. The script format of today's broadcast will be available at a future date on AuthenticCloseTDramascripts.com. It is truly an honor to have you listening. May you be a blessing unto yourself by way of your past, by way of your present, and by way of your future. Slán agus beannacht leat.